Welcome to Look to the Moon podcast, bringing together two friends with stories that need sharing. Join us, Jodie and Nicole, as we navigate life after loss, discussing topics around birth, trauma, and baby loss, and providing a safe space for others to share their stories. Hi, everybody. Please bear with us while we start our first ever podcast. My name is Jodie, and
I'm Nicole.
We are the Look to the Moon podcast, and we're really wanting to start a podcast for actually a number of different reasons. Me personally, last year I went through a birth trauma, and I've been struggling to deal with what happened and other events that have followed that as well. So I personally wanted to talk and share. And my friend Nicole, who I'm going to hand over to in a second, you know, I approached her about making a podcast because she's gone through a trauma last year as well. So why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about you and, you know, why you wanted to join me on this podcast journey.
Yeah, so as Jodie said, I'm Nicole, and last year I also went through trauma and baby loss, unfortunately. So we ended up having our second daughter born extremely premature. She was born alive, but unfortunately, after many complications, which we will go into further, she sadly died at 8 days old. And same as Jodie, doing this podcast to help ourselves, firstly, to help each other, as we have become, we're already close, but yeah, we have found comfort in talking to each other and sharing how we feel. And also hoping to help other people that have been through similar or going through the experience currently, that are wanting to share their stories and experience as well.
Yeah, and I think for me it's been difficult because I've been having certain thoughts and feelings that I didn't know that anyone would relate to, where whether you go through a trauma or, you know, you're suffering with pregnancy complications or baby loss, a lot of the feelings we've found out between us are the same, even though the outcomes are different and the experiences are different. So I personally needed an outlet and was considering going to therapy or trying to talk to my GP, which I know you've recommended in the past.
And she's still not done.
Which I've still not done. It's still not done. I find that I'm not reluctant to go, but I know that going through the GP and the healthcare service for therapy can take a long time.
Yeah.
And I've been struggling in the moment.
Yeah.
And what I didn't want to do is not find an outlet now.
Yeah.
And have to wait to sort of try and help myself, essentially. And what makes me feel better is to talk and to find people that understand the feelings that I've had as well.
Yeah, that you can relate to.
Yeah, and that is really the main reason that we've said that we'd start this, because we've said on many occasions that we might not get anyone that actually
just listens sat in a room
to us. Yeah, us
talking
having
to ourselves,
random conversations, chatting over and over about the same subjects, because we do cover a lot of the same topics and we discuss the same topics, but we find that, you know, in our day-to-day lives, you know, something will crop up that will refer us back to certain feelings. And one thing that I did want to share is I can't believe how common these traumas and these issues are, because not many people talk about it. And, you know, I've only got a small circle of friends. Nicole, you're included in that, of course. And other than, I think out of a group of seven of us, there's only two women in that group that haven't started the journey of a family yet, because they're just not at that stage in their life. The other five are either trying to start a family and finding it very tough, or they have successfully started a family and gone on to have trauma. And, you know, we're in that group of friends, we've got issues like infertility issues, we've got miscarriage, birth trauma, baby loss in such a small group. That's over five women and in a group of seven friends in my circle of friends, which I found actually quite shocking, because when you're in your late teens or your early 20s, whenever you start on that family journey, a few years before that, you don't realise how difficult it can actually become.
Well, you don't think of the things that go wrong, or the difficulty of actually getting pregnant and starting a family, or other ways of having a baby. Like, you don't think about that. I think that's, for me, a part that I found really hard, is that you don't think of those things because you hope that it would never happen.
Yeah.
But when it does happen, like you've just said, Jodie, it's not spoke about.
No.
And I think that's a big part for me, is that a part of this podcast is wanting to break that silence and break the taboo of not talking about baby loss or miscarriages, or just feeling uncomfortable about sharing. I think that's one of the biggest things for me, is that you get asked, as this age that we're at, in your 30s, 20s, 30s, oh, have you got a family? Or, oh, you, how many kids have you got? And a lot of these questions are very intrusive questions that you wouldn't necessarily tell, you know, someone that you meet in the street as such. But
people don't mean anything by the words they say. There's no malice in what people say. But I know I've said this to you before when we were talking about subjects for the podcast, is that people don't realise the impact of their words.
Yeah, definitely.
And, you know, you spend your teens and your early 20s preventing pregnancy.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, you can't think of sort of anything worse at that point in your life than, you know, getting caught pregnant. And you look back now and you think, oh, you know, there's so many people that struggle to conceive, there's so many people that struggle to maintain a pregnancy.
Yeah.
You know, I myself have suffered a miscarriage before I had my daughter, and I actually conceived really, really quickly.
Yeah.
And thought, oh, you know, I'm really lucky, you know, first try, you know, we got pregnant, and then 5 weeks later, we had a miscarriage. And I remember just not wanting to speak about it, and not wanting to tell anyone about it. And there was only a very, very small number of people that knew I was pregnant, because it was quite early on. And when it did happen, the thought of having to go and tell those few people that I hadn't got the baby anymore was really tough. But I also remember having time off work and having to make an excuse when I went to
as
work.
As to why you're off or why you've been off. Yeah.
And it starts a cycle of being, you are being dishonest, because you don't want to put yourself through the trauma, reliving the trauma and discussing that with other people. So I remember I did actually tell my boss when it happened, because I felt that it was difficult to lie to my boss, and he had to keep it confidential, you know, so it wasn't something that he could go broadcasting, that he never would have done anyway, but he couldn't have done. But when I went back into work, you know, people are like, oh, have you recovered from your flu? And I'm thinking, just play along.
Yeah, and you're just living a lie.
Yeah, and then I remember hadn't even told, I know that you knew, because you'll get in a little bit about your history, but Nicole used to work in the NHS,
yep,
in A&E. And she was my first phone call when the miscarriage happened, because I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Not that I said I was having a miscarriage to you on the phone, but I said that, you know, I was pregnant and I was bleeding and I didn't know what to do. And you were the first person that I sort of rung for help. But I actually, I didn't turn to you as a friend.
Yeah.
Weirdly, I turned to you because of your medical...
In a medical background.
Background, yeah. And it was, I was in the moment and you think medical help will...
Yeah.
Will help you in that situation, which unfortunately it actually can't.
Yeah.
It only sort of confirms or denies your suspicions, I suppose.
Yeah.
And I remember not wanting to tell my friends for quite a number,
yeah,
of weeks, and I knew that I couldn't tell you face to face, or our other friends in the room,
yeah,
I couldn't tell them face to face, and I had to put it down in a message. And you just think, you know, these are the people that you grow up with and, you know, you should be able to share these stories with, and they're there to help you, but you do sort of close down. And this podcast will hopefully give people an outlet so they can hear other people's stories, even if you don't feel like you can share your own.
Yeah.
You know, because we are keen, aren't we, to get people to share.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, share their stories and experiences, and hopefully it'll help them as well as helping each other and other people that are listening.
Yeah, so...
If there is any listeners.
If there is any listeners, which we hope there will be.
Yeah.
But we are keen to hear from people that have got a story that they feel like they want to share. You know, even if it's anonymous and you don't want anyone to know your name or any of your, you know, your personal details, we're not encouraging you to share anything such as your personal information,
yeah,
but your stories and what happened to you and how that made you feel. And if you've found an outlet that works for you as well, we're hoping that this podcast will be our outlet.
Yeah.
But we discussed before we started recording, didn't we,
yeah,
Nicole, about other support that people can seek, which I've not got any experience in, but I know that you have.
Yeah, yeah. So there is obviously a lot of other support or resources out there that can help support a range of things, and we will go into more detail and discuss those things, as I personally, like you said before, the NHS unfortunately does have a long waiting list for a lot of these support groups and resources. But I think it's important that you start the process and then seek other ways of help in the meantime. And that's actually what happened with me, is went to the GP as like the first port of call, and they referred me to other agencies to get support with. But because the wait list was so long and I was actually declined on one of them, that then I had to seek other support. Well, actually, it was my partner that seeked it for me, because I wasn't in the best place to do so.
No, but it's been you that's driving it.
Yeah.
Or you or your partner that's been driving that support.
Yes.
It's not been sort of handed to you.
No,
You've
absolutely.
Had to get off your own back and,
yeah,
do that.
Yeah, which, yeah, again, is
which is
a
maybe
shame.
Not.
Because
yeah,
of the NHS,
shame,
should,
yeah,
you know, we did have, the NHS did have bereavement nurses for us at the time when we lost our daughter. And in the first instant, they were very good and they spoke to you regularly and checked in on you regularly. But they, you know, they're busy. They do mm-hmm. dwindle down. Although you feel like you're the only person in the world that's going through it at that time, you're not.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a lot of other parents that they need to deal with as well. And that did affect me quite badly, because I felt that, you know, after a week or two, they were like, oh, forgotten about.
It's
and
not like a
moved
surgery
on.
That you're recovering from and you get
no.
better, you know,
yeah,
in
a
within
few
a
weeks.
Certain period of time.
Yeah,
it's something
exactly.
that you, it's
you
a
need.
Lifelong trauma that you're
yeah.
gonna have to cope and learn
yeah.
learn coping mechanisms
yeah.
to get you through.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, it's a long-term thing. I mean, obviously everybody deals with things differently,
but it's not a short-term
but
fix.
It's not short-term, no, absolutely. I mean, we're gosh, why are we, like, I don't know, 16 months down the line, maybe?
Yeah, so my daughter was born in February of 23. So, you know, we're talking sort of nearly 17 months after she was born that, we, you know, we've just started seriously talking about these things.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was only a few weeks after my daughter was born that yeah. you went into labour. So the actual events of 2023 happened quite
yes.
closely together, yeah. didn't they, really?
Yeah, they did.
Although it's sort of, everything seems to have, there's been different outcomes to both our stories and different experiences, and but there's been things from the beginning that have, they span years, these experiences span years, yeah. if not for the rest of your life. And yes, we might only be sort of a year and a half into this, it seems that this is the beginning of trying to move forward. It's not moving on, it's no. moving forward.
Yeah, it's just learning how to deal, like for myself, deal with the grief, but being able to continue your life as best as you can.
Yeah.
Me and my partner have always said that our lives are not going to ever be the same again, and we are not going to be the same people ever again. But you have to learn a new way.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also have to allow for the world to accept you as a new person yeah. because of how it does change you. And same for you, like, you will have to learn to cope with things differently. Like, mm-hmm. we've discussed this before previously, personally,
yeah.
that your coping mechanisms and ways of dealing with things and massively change, and how things affect you massively change. And it's all about learning yourself again, I suppose.
Yeah, and I've always said since my daughter was born, I don't feel like the same person. And yeah. I don't know whether that's true for every new parent, that you become a different person.
Well, it's a massive life-changing experience, isn't it?
Yeah, and it is really, really surprising how different you do feel. But I don't know whether I can separate that. Is that normal and every parent feels that? Or mm-hmm. do I feel different, like a different person, because of the experience we went through?
Yeah.
I can't answer that question, because no. I'm a first-time parent, and those traumatic experiences happened with my first child.
Yeah.
So is it becoming a new parent, or is it the trauma that's made me feel different? And I still don't know.
No.
But I truly don't feel like the same person. I feel like, not necessarily my personality has changed, but like you said, we've discussed this before, it's the way you cope with things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've always felt like a person who has got quite a thick skin.
Yeah.
It takes quite a lot. I would say this is before my daughter was born. It takes quite a lot for me to become, get to a point where I can't cope.
Yeah.
Or I'm struggling to cope with the emotions that I have.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been, if there's a challenge in front of me, I've always been a person to say, let's just do it, get it out of the way, and then I don't have to worry about that particular thing.
Yeah.
Where I can't do that
no.
with the trauma that I've had. And you're the same. Mm-hmm. It's being out of control. I'm a control freak, mm-hmm. open and proud.
Yeah.
Not an insult if someone calls me a control freak. But I feel that since my daughter's been born, I've been completely out of yeah. my control.
Yeah. And especially massively during your labour.
Yes.
Everything was taken from what you planned as such, birth mm-hmm. plan and everything. Everything was taken off you.
Yes.
Your control was no more. And yeah, I think that's like a hard thing to deal with sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think I feel like I lost my identity a little bit. Yeah. Because if, for example, it wasn't me that was in that labour room, as in, or I was an observer, or, you know, it was my partner that was going through it, and if the roles were reversed,
yeah,
I felt like I would probably have dealt with it differently. But it's all hindsight, isn't it, that you think, well, say in my business life, so, you know, I've always been quite focused on my career.
Yeah.
I'm in quite a male-dominated industry. You know, I've always had to be quite tough, quite resilient, quite opinionated, and it feels like I completely lost that
yeah.
during my labour, which we'll go into a little bit more in another episode. But it started with the labour. I feel yeah. like I completely lost myself even before my daughter was born. I've never completely returned to that, especially in my personal life.
Mm-hmm.
maybe not in my working life, but in my personal life, I definitely do feel different.
Yeah.
And we want to encourage people who are also feeling the same feelings to get in touch with us and, you know, create our own sort of little community, if we can, of people that support each other, people who can listen to this and find some comfort. Just to give you a bit of background of, you know, I approached Nicole and asked her if she wanted to get involved in this a number of weeks ago, because I had only recently listened to my first ever podcast. And it was at a time where I was doing quite long journeys to work, and I thought, you know, I'll give a podcast a go. They've been recommended. They've been around for ages. Why have I never listened to anything? So I started listening to the Josh Widdicombe and the Robert Beckett Parenting Hell podcast. And although it's a totally different tone, that podcast, it's obviously run by two comedians and very lighthearted. They were talking about parenting and, you know, and I've started right at the very beginning, so I'm about 4 years out of date. But their children are not dissimilar to my daughter's age now. So it was so relatable.
Yeah.
And I just felt like I had a story to tell. And I thought, that's the two ingredients.
Yeah.
You know, can someone relate to my story? And you've got a story to tell. And I thought, well, yeah. So why shouldn't we do it?
So here we are. Jodie, why don't you tell our listeners how they can get in touch to share their stories?
Email us at hello@looktothemoonpodcast.com or send us a message on Instagram. Our handle is looktothemoonpodcast. Yeah, please do send in your stories. We really want to hear from you. You know, it's our intention with this podcast to not just share our stories and ongoing things that are ongoing our stories, because our stories
both
aren't
of ours
over.
Are ongoing,
they're both ongoing, and they always will be, and we're gonna hopefully share that, some of that journey with you. But it's our intention with the podcast is to share other people's stories, you know, and invite people on the podcast to be interviewed, and hopefully have even, you know, medical professionals on here if we can get those interviews set up, so people can see different sides to the stories that we are sharing.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's massively important that we do hear from other people. The statistics show actually in the UK that it's around 1 in 4 pregnancies that do end in loss during pregnancy or birth, so, you know, those numbers are massively high, yet it's still not spoken about, or you're made to feel that maybe you shouldn't speak about it, because I think more so it's about making other people feel uncomfortable. Because, like, obviously we're going through it or been through it. So we've experienced it, and like me and you, we want to talk about it because it helps us.
Yeah.
But actually, you know, when those people do ask you those questions that are a little bit awkward, like, oh, how many children do you have? And you answer them truthfully. It then makes them feel awkward. But why? Because we should be allowed to talk about our experiences or our babies that we've lost or our pregnancies that we've lost. So I think that this, well, we're hoping that this podcast will allow people to do that, and for people to feel comfortable sharing their experiences, but also for everybody else that maybe hasn't gone through it to actually realise that, yes, it is acceptable and it needs to be spoken about, because these statistics are really, really high.
Yeah, and I think it's something that people do need educating on, especially if they've not, you know, thankfully a lot of people haven't gone through sort of a traumatic experience or experience loss when starting a family, and in that journey, which is fantastic if you haven't. But I think it does give you sort of this ignorance, really, to what other people have gone through, and like the impact that sort of a very, very casual comment can have on a family or an individual. And I know from my experience, which we'll go into a little bit more as we will with Nicole's experience as well, you know, people have said to me, you know, oh, is your daughter your first child?
Mm.
And I've said, in response, first and only, you know. Yeah. And people say to me, oh, you say that now, you know, wait till they're a little bit older. And I'm thinking, no, I don't really feel like getting into the whole story of why I actually only want one child, because of the trauma that I've experienced. Because, you know, it's usually people who don't know what you've been through that would say that. So hopefully this gives people a little bit of an education of, you know, what to say to somebody who has experienced,
or what not to say.
Because I know that you've experienced a lot of comments or in conversation where people have said things that you're thinking, wow, you know, I can't believe they've just said that. Or, you know, people not saying things has been quite a big thing for you. I remember that you've said that before.
Yeah, definitely. I think, like I said previously, it makes other people feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So they don't talk about it, or they think that the right thing to do is to not talk about it, which in some situations is right.
Yeah.
But in others, then it makes you, as a person that's gone through that experience or the loss or the trauma, actually feel that maybe your experience isn't valid, or maybe it shouldn't be spoken about, and that really doesn't help someone that's going through grief or a traumatic experience. So.
And I think it is difficult on the other side when people don't know what to say because they fear saying the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And you can totally understand that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, if, you know, they know a family member has passed away and you feel that you don't know what to say because you know nothing you say will comfort that person. But sometimes complete silence can actually make things 10 times worse.
Yeah, definitely.
It's more like somewhat they should acknowledge that you're going through something, and it's, if someone doesn't say anything, it's like they're not acknowledging that you've gone through that trauma.
Definitely. I think it's like, I follow a lot of things on Instagram, like grief accounts, and I think it's about acknowledging that grief and allowing the person to grieve no matter how long it takes, and accepting that their grief is a massive part of it. And yeah, definitely. I think saying something is better than saying nothing.
Yeah.
Even if you do, you know, make that little hiccup and you say the wrong thing.
It's still
better than saying nothing, and then just leaving that person in silence when they're already struggling.
Yeah, definitely. So I think this about wraps up the first episode. Forgive any errors and any hiccups that we may have.
Well, we will delete a lot of those outbursts of laughter. Yeah.
We'll edit some of that out. If we can edit, that is the question. Mm. We're amateurs here. Blind leading the blind is probably the best.
No, I have no techno skills whatsoever. At least you know what you're doing a little bit.
Yeah, just to give you a bit of insight to this first recording, I had to get my husband to sit at my computer for about 15 minutes to actually set up the microphones to make sure that they were both recording. So thank you for anyone who listens. We hope to receive your stories. And thank you for tuning in, and hopefully this is the start of a wonderful podcast.
Yeah, it will be, I'm sure. So as Jodie just said, that's our introduction, but our next podcast, we are going to look into Jodie's experience, and Jodie's going to tell us about her experience along with all her feelings and everything that happened to her and her beautiful daughter.
So thanks guys, and we'll see you next time.
See you next time. Bye.